7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 60 of Color of Magic. That is the big 60. I am your host, Daquan Watson, and so far for all 60 episodes, I've had the same co-host, Brian Allen. How's it going, dude?
Oh, pretty good. How about you?
I've been a little better. I think I went to sleep at like 4:30, sometime between 4:30 and 5 this morning. I had to take a cat to the emergency vet clinic, and now I'm on the hook for, well, I don't even have him back yet. He's going to still be there for another day, but I'm paying for quite an expensive cat surgery. I will say that it will be the most expensive thing we own other than either of our two vehicles.
Wow.
So yeah, not the cheapest thing, let me tell you. But that's okay. I got up early, still got a show to do. We got things to knock out. So first, let me say thank you to all the people that support the show over at patreon.com. You can become a patron and support us. I guess now I need support more than ever. You go to patreon.com/colorofmagic. Check it out there. We also give episodes once or twice a month that are exclusive just to our patrons. So they get some neat stuff there. So be sure to check that out. Also, we have another show sponsor, if you haven't checked them out yet, Cardsphere.com. And what Cardsphere is, it's a way for you to sell your cards at the price you want, and it's kind of very low hassle. To be honest, you can put money on and off with your PayPal account. And, you know, maybe if you're just looking for stuff, it's a good place to look and say, hey, I only want to pay this much for the card. You'd be surprised. You might get yourself a deal. Go check it out. It is cardsphere.com. Now, that brings us to the soapbox. And, you know, I want to say that I had so many things to talk about this week. So much. But, you know, I settled on something that I think we really got to talk about. Because those of you that know I have a second YouTube channel. I have my regular Power Dragon gaming channel, but I have Power Dragon Outdoors, which I talk about largely my chickens in my backyard. But I talk about, like, you know, stuff outdoors, gardening, whatever. There's going to be a bunch of stuff on that channel. But because of that, people send me some chicken-related links from time to time. And I saw some stuff this week. And it got kind of progressively worse. So let me start here, right? First off, people have chicken harnesses. Kind of like you see for your dogs or your cats, or even like your 2-year-old that you want to keep on your arm when you're in the mall.
It was always weird.
You can get those for chickens. In the first part, I was like, okay, that's kind of weird. I'm not sure why you'd want to do it. And chickens don't necessarily want to be around people where you'd be walking anyway. But, like, all right, whatever, fine. People have harness for the chicken. But then I found out they make tiny helmets for chickens.
Well, you know, sometimes the chickens have to do their duty in the United States military to go on. It's just, you know.
And it's not even like, they're just like decorative. It's not even like get your favorite fan helmet. And not only that, they come in packs of 8, by the way. You can get these little helmets and stick them on their head. And they do absolutely nothing. I don't know why. Like, the chickens don't look happy. I don't know why anybody would do this. And that wasn't even the pinnacle of the week. It got worse. Then somebody said, but then I saw the weirdest chicken accessory.
Okay. Weirder than helmets.
Definitely weirder than helmets. Right. So it's, I'm sure the best way to describe this is, think about how when you put your headphones around your neck, they kind of hang over the front and you have the two muffs, right? They go over your ears, the ear cups. Now imagine if those ear cups were little T-Rex arms.
Wait, for chickens? Chicken.
You can get little T-Rex arms for your chickens. I don't even know why those exist. Like, it's not so you even do a little
YouTube bit. Video of you trying to put arms and helmets on your chickens. So we see how that goes.
You know what? If somebody, I don't even, I was about to say, if somebody were to buy those for me, I would do it. But I don't even know if I would do it then. Like, if people desperately.
The chickens get nothing out of this. They don't want to participate.
Well, that's true. If people desperately want to see it, y'all let me know. Somebody buy them, then maybe. And we can talk about it. We can negotiate. But right off the top, no, I don't know. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. But anyway, just wanted to say, like, people making this stuff, like, what's going on? Like, these are the type of items that people are making that nobody needs. I assume very few people want, because even when I looked at the stuff on Amazon that I could find, they had, like, 100 reviews. So it's not that many people are even picking them up. So, like, just a weird, weird thing. A weird week.
Yeah, that's 100 more people than I would have thought needed or wanted that product.
Well, that is true. It was more than I thought. Why don't you tell us what you learned last week, Brian?
It's funny you mentioned Amazon. Apparently, you know, a lot of people have been trying to order the item of the season, the PlayStation 5, and I guess there was some theft or some issues at Amazon, because apparently not several people, instead of a PlayStation 5, opened their box and got items including cat food, foot massager, all kinds of random things that were not PlayStation 5s.
Interesting. I wonder.
Can you imagine? Yeah, I mean, especially let's say you're a YouTuber, you're getting ready, you know, probably open this thing on stream or something, and it's a box of cat food instead of a PlayStation 5.
I wonder, that's a weird one, right? Is it possible that that did happen to some people, but then other people were like, oh, if it's a known thing, I'm going to go shove some cat food in my PS5 box and see if they'll refund me because I didn't get a thing, you know? Like, I wonder how widespread it actually is and how many people are scamming.
I don't know how they would verify that you got it, because...
Yeah, that's weird. Because the problem now is like, okay, let's say it is a real problem, right? Because it very well could be. Let's say there was just like rash of theft for whatever reason. Like, now what happens when a kid is waiting till Christmas? You know, like, that's your big Christmas gift, right? Maybe you saved up.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that, where people hadn't opened them. You would just, of course, assume the thing that's in there is in there. And
yeah, because, you know, some people are going to get surprised with it because, you know, they've been trying to get one and they haven't been able to. But then, like, their significant other or family member or whatever is able to get one, and they're like, ooh, we're going to surprise them at Christmas and just put this under the tree, right, with the Xbox or the PlayStation. Yeah, that's going to be a letdown. That sucks.
That's the Grinch for real right there. I mean,
yeah. And see, and here's what's crazy, because imagine being in that situation, and you've been trying and trying, and you really wanted one, and then you open it up on Christmas Day, and you're like, oh, you're jacked up, you see the box. Then you open it and you're like, okay, why are y'all just messing with me? Right? And then your family member is going to be like, no, we didn't know this was a thing. And then now there's a fight on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's ugly. That's ugly.
PlayStation 5 box. You're like, yeah. You open it and there's something random like a foot massager. What? And then, like you said, you think you're getting messed with. Like, okay, bring out the PlayStation 5. Like, no, we don't really have one.
Yeah, that's wild, dude. I hadn't heard about that, but yeah, that's first I've heard about it. But, you know, I've been pretty busy this week. But yeah, that's actually a good one. The thing I'm gonna put up that I learned this past week, Brian David Marshall, one of the guys I co-host with, or one of the people I co-host with on Supreme Verdict, one of the web shows by UMG. By the way, check it out, UMG Gaming. He had asked everybody last week if they were interested, well, what would they want in a tournament series, right? If somebody was to create a new tournament series, what would get you interested? It was surprising to me the number of people that don't understand how to market an event. Because a bunch of people are like, old school, you know, weird Canlander, you know, Canadian Highlander, like all these weird magic formats. And it's like, that's not like okay. I mean, sure, you and like 1,000 other people might be interested, but like that's not going to be a sustainable event. You know, like, but it was interesting to me to see how many people want to, like, and I went and looked at some of the people's responses previously. It took a while because, you know, research. But some of these people are people that are constantly trashing different events, different tournament series, even other games on how they run their stuff. But then when somebody asks you that question, you're like, we should be redoing this for our tournament. It's like, what? Like, your decision would have been infinitely worse than anything they were going to do. And that's not to say that those things aren't fun. I mean, I think a lot of the random Magic formats are fun and entertaining, you know, in small doses or when you're playing with your friends around the kitchen table or whatever. But if it's not one of the popular like 4 or 5 formats, you're just not going to have enough people who play it regularly or are interested. Now, you could do something like some special form of like draft or cube draft or something that you do alongside a constructed portion. So maybe you do like 3 or 4 rounds of cube draft and then you do, I don't know, standard, modern, historic, whatever you want to do for the constructed portion. Like something like that could work. But there were a lot of things people were just tossing out there that I think people don't like. This is the weird thing to me. I think there's people who feel like their opinions never get heard or they get pushed off or ignored or whatever. But it's just like you're throwing things out there that don't even have a chance. And when people ask those types of questions, I always use that as an opportunity to put up a real thought. Like, I would like this for this reason, and then flesh it out. Or say like, well, it would be cool to see us try like this new way of doing something or whatever, right? Something that can be tried or achieved or in some way maintained if it's put into effect. I just think too often people go, I like this random thing, we should do this. And it's like, that's, you know, there's a lot of things I like that I would not pitch to people because I know they wouldn't be great. And or even if they would be, they'd be for a very small percentage of the group. So why even suggest it? So what I'm saying is humans are selfish and have a hard time thinking outside of their personal bubble and think that their thing is the best thing, even though it's often not the best thing.
The heck day.
Hey, man, it's ongoing. It's ongoing. So let's get into some regular news here because we have a couple of things. Also, this episode's probably not going to be exceptionally long because we are having to shoot this later than normal because we had some technical issues. And we did also record an episode that'll be going out to our patrons this week as well. So just want to put that out there, kind of set the tone for the rest of the show here. But one of the fun things that happened this past week is we talked last week about the Secret Lair Secret Drop, which you can still buy those, by the way. Just do a search for Magic Secret Lair. You think you have another like 9 days or so from the time of this going live. So go check that out. But one of the things you could get was the Bob Ross Secret Lair, where they made 10 lands, 2 of each basic. And I believe it comes with 1 Evolving Wilds, I believe is what they did as well. So I guess you get 11. But what we also got were 5 codes to get half of them in Arena. So if you didn't get those yet, just one word. These are all the 5 codes if you hadn't got them yet. But just like they sound phonetically, or not phonetically, but how they're spelled. Delightful Meadow, one word. Island Wilderness. Tree Friend. Move Mountains, and Happy Swamp. Those are the 5. So if you put those in, you will get 5, whatever we call the special frames, for the 5 basic lands there from the Bob Ross collection.
Even the codes kind of make you feel happy. You know, it's good. So good job to whoever came up with those.
Oh, I'm with you. I think the names were great. Like I said, the only thing I think they missed on this was not finding a way to do them in either full frame, you know, extended border, maybe even do them where they were vertical art instead of horizontal, so you could show them as though they're like a canvas. Like, it just a ton of things you could do that we just missed on this one. That's the only thing. Like, if the framing of the cards themselves were different, I think it could have been really cool. But I mean, the artwork's really sweet And, you know, Bob Ross is one of those dudes that nobody dislikes. Exactly. For me, he's up there with, like, Mr. Rogers and LeVar Burton. And, you know, like, they're in that category of, like, everybody who's learned from these people likes them. Also, saw a random story somebody brought up about Bob Ross on our stream the other night. That apparently the reason he keeps the tone he does and how he developed that, and I don't know if this is true. This may be complete and utter crap, but it sounds cool, that he was actually in the military. And apparently when he got out, he didn't like the idea that so many people just got yelled at for no reason in the military. So he tried to make it a point to never raise his voice. And I'm like, okay, that's a believable story. Yeah. I don't know if it's true or not, but I could buy that.
I mean, I've heard about him being in the military.
Yeah, that part's true. I just don't know if the part about that's the reason he keeps the low tones and stuff is really, really true. But it's interesting. I just wanted to throw that out there.
PBS, you wouldn't really have an opportunity to raise your voice anyway. That's not what they do over there.
Fair. There really isn't a lot there.
You never have that episode where Big Bird just goes ham on everybody and starts yelling.
Yeah. But Oscar will yell at you when you try to mess with his trash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Cookie Monster will yell at you while he's eating his cookies.
And even then, it's like, even with him raising his voice, it's still hilarious, so you can't even get mad at it. It's just about the cadence of his voice.
Okay, let's remind everybody about the Zendikar Rising Championships coming this weekend. Now, these event, or I guess we'll call them seasonal championships, I guess is the best title for them. These are basically the new Pro Tours for now, or Players Tour events. And I know people get frustrated and say, like, why do we keep changing the name of the events? And why don't we make the names easier to remember and this, that, and the other? Remember that this season had a full-scale rollout. And they had the whole Players Tour thing set up and how they were going to put people in the NPL and all. And then COVID happened. Right? So all the tournaments we were going to do all had to be scrapped. They had to scramble, come up with another thing. And to be honest, I kind of like this new system. It feels cleaner and simpler. Right, there's a few paths. If you get into the top 1,200, you play the qualifier and get in. There's some events that aren't Wizards run that can qualify you for the qualifier. And there's some that you win that just get you into the main Zendikar Rising Championship. And then from there, you get points into the season. You're either in the Rivals League or you're playing, or you're either in the Rivals League or the NPL, or you're playing in one of the whatever the elimination events. I forgot what we're calling those, the challenges or whatever, to determine if you're in either one of those for the next season. Right? Fair enough. We will have these, it looks like, at the end of every season. So every set will have an associated championship event. And it looks like that's what we're doing for the time being. And I would assume with COVID still being what it is, even though vaccines are coming, and we'll talk about that here later this episode, this seems reasonable. You know, one of the things I would say, Brian, like, are you planning on watching coverage of this event this weekend?
I probably will check a little bit of it out because this is, you know, I mean, the standard seems like it's in a good place right now. There's nothing that just is over the top, destroying everything, card, really, you know, no Omnas, no Okos, no nothing that's just ridiculous right now. I'm still not crazy about Ugin, I guess, you know, but other than that, I think seems like standard's in a reasonably good place.
Yeah, see, I'm kind of largely with you. I think that's one of the things that makes this more appealing, right? I think there's another underlying thing here that I think we don't talk about sometimes when we talk about coverage and events and stuff. But I think players being able to identify their hero and their villain makes a big difference when they go to follow coverage, right? Because, like, if it's just a deck that's oppressive and it just beats everything, well, nobody wants to watch that. You're rooting against a deck, but you know you don't, whatever you're rooting for doesn't have much of a shot. So you're just not that interested. But when you're like, oh, okay, well, I like playing, I don't know, I'm just going to throw something. I like playing Teemer Ramp, right? Well, I'm going to go root for the Teemer Ramp decks, and I hate the mill decks. So I'm going to go root against every mill deck, and I hope they lose, and I hope the Teemer Ramp decks win. And now all these other matches have like some, you have a rooting interest one way or the other in the majority of the matches. And that seems, or not majority, but at least a lot more of the matches. And I think that has an effect because it almost becomes now like following your sports team.
Yeah.
You know, of a thing you like versus a thing you don't like. And there's something to that. Or even following players that play your style of decks. So you're like, okay, well, I like rooting for this person because they like playing what I like to play. And when the format is diverse, there's a good chance they're going to be playing one of those decks you like. So I think that's going to make this much better and more appealing. And I think now you have a wider pool of players that have qualified in more ways. So they're all using their social media and talking it up and sharing their decks and stuff. So the lead up's been better. And for me, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like now that we've got these other events that are qualifying people and you can play online, there's all those people that are basically like journeyman players that have been around forever. And maybe they did well in like local cash events, or they were the local like in boss for PTQs or something, but they didn't really have time to take away from their job or their family or the finances to fly to all of these pro tour events. So they might be good players, but never had the chance to qualify. Or maybe work was just too busy or whatever. Like, they can take a Saturday off or one weekend from home because you can get done and immediately go back to dealing with the family or whatever. So it'd be interesting to see if any of those people who qualified through these various means make it to the final day, really, and really make a name for themselves.
I know a couple of people like that, not just in Magic, but I mean, throughout a lot of card games where, yeah, if they had any opportunity to do it full time, I think they could, you know, be professional. But again, you know, you got a job, you got kids, you know, you got family commitments, especially now that people are even not just kids, people are taking care of, you know, older members of their family. So just, there's just a lot of things. Because we've talked about just what kind of a grind it is to play Magic or really any game professionally. It's a full-time job in addition to whatever your full-time job is.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, and so I'm really looking forward to just seeing how many new faces get identified, you know, that because I think people still haven't fully, or at least it feels this way. I could be wrong, but it still feels like people haven't fully embraced that the way we are interacting with our games, with competition, with entertainment has now changed permanently, whether we like it or not. Right? Like we aren't going back to the old ways. And too many companies have learned ways to operate differently now. And this, we've found ways we can redo the systems. Because a lot of Magic, especially, or not just Magic, I'll say a lot of gaming has been doing the same things from whatever their early years are and haven't really innovated much. And they've all kind of been forced to during this pandemic. But what were you going to say there, Brian?
Just before we start, I saw that Warner is apparently moving all their even their 2021 slate of movies onto HBO Max for like the first couple of months. And of course, movie theater stocks, all of them crashed between 15% to 20% on those announcements.
But I mean, but you know, again, let's look at the studios, right? They don't know how long it's going to be before numbers get to normal at movie theaters.
Exactly.
I mean, even because, you know, and I don't want to, you know, get ahead of ourselves here, but even with the vaccines coming, like, people still may not be comfortable going to the movies again until maybe next summer. That's still, what, 8 months away?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, I don't know if I can't blame them for at least trying something different. But it's same thing here when we're talking about Magic or Hearthstone or any of these video game tournaments or whatever. Hell, we even saw early on during the pandemic that even Madden did this online thing with like celebrities and musicians and whatever, and just trying to find different ways to make their things exciting that they didn't necessarily have to do before. But now things are different. And we're reaching different audiences we weren't reaching before because people are now at home having more time to engage with products. So there's going to be a lot, I think, to come out of this. I will say the last few events that Wizards has done, the coverage has gotten better. The feel of them has been better. So I hope that continues to progress and stays positive. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this weekend. I think there could be some good stories coming out of that. One of the other things that came up this week was the announcements, I guess, as they're taking nominations for the Magic the Gathering Content Creator Awards. And these are awards that I believe started 2 years ago to start recognizing people in the Magic community. And the way I understand it from the creator of this award series, the idea is to at least boost up, kind of expose people, whatever, to the greater community, whatever that people may not know about or whatever, and get them involved. And my understanding is this year, he does have more of the creators being involved with the process, the presentation, the nominations, whatever. So we'll see how that affects things this year. But there's two issues I want to talk to here. So let's talk about, first and foremost, I'm sure any of you that were on Twitter saw the promo piece they had going around. I won't even say it. Brian, you give us your take on it.
I think it's the same reaction that probably you had, a lot of people had. Like, it was very pale. Like I said, it was last year's class photo or whatever.
You know, I saw a couple of people I know that were either non-binary or trans in there. There were several women in the image. Great. But I'd have to go back and look, but like, there might have been two people of color in there. So there's been a couple of threads going on that have been like, hey, if y'all want to nominate some people or y'all want to start following some new people, here are some folks you can follow. You know, and I pointed out, like, some people have been on our show, like Nessa, you know, Elia the Veil, yeah, who's writing for a lot of places now that's out there. King Omni, who has a really active both Twitter feed and stream. You know, what's his name that runs the Backsplash, right? He did a whole charity tournament. Yeah. Earlier this year, right? There's a lot of creators out there that are doing things that people may
push a binge listen to our podcast. But I mean, we've had a lot of people on here that I would recommend that you go check out if you're not familiar with them.
Oh, for sure. And I think that's the biggest issue, right? And some of it kind of comes back to some other things we talked about before, but it's hard to make that leap and get that exposure if everybody that's being recommended or seen is all part of the same group. So there are great creators out there of all different backgrounds doing great stuff. And I'm still surprised when I come across people I didn't even know were out there. And some of them, fortunately, there are people helping get them exposure lately. You know, whether it's the professor or, like we said, with like Covert Go Blue, like they've been putting in work this year to try to be more of an ally to more groups and really help with the diversification of content that's out there. So credit to those. And I'm sure there's others. I just personally know that these two have done things and had conversations with them. But man, like there's when you, The problem is when people see that image, it's going to have a real effect on things, right? It's almost like
it's going to make people not want to engage.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like it indirectly gatekeeps the category. Like there's no one there saying, hey, you're not welcome. But they look at that and say like, am I welcome? And I get it, right? There's been multiple times, you know, not outside of Magic, where I've gone to help with a charity event or go help with a project somewhere. And you kind of look around and go like, are these people going to be comfortable with me being here? So I'd imagine the same thing is going to apply to your gaming when you see that.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you look and say, oh, is this a spot for me?
I mean, I remember going to a chamber event once where there was, literally, by walking into the building, I integrated the event. It was just bizarre.
Yeah, I've had that happen before. That's a weird thing. When you're at some type of professional function and you're not even the token. Like you just show up. Like you're just on the list.
Trying to cover it. So it's not like anybody picked me on purpose to say, hey, yeah, we need some color to these proceedings. It's just I happened to be there and I happened to be the, and I'm not just talking about black, I'm talking about, and I'm in Texas, and there was, for example, no Hispanic people. How does this happen? You know, it's just, but it did.
Oh, it definitely happens. I've witnessed that firsthand.
You would think by accident, you would run into a couple of people of color.
Well, yeah, you would think so.
And I mean, it was a huge, I think they're like their taste of, you know, I won't say the city, but so this is their big, you know, event to say, hey, welcome to our community. This is everything we have to offer. And to see something like that be so you know, monotone is just, it was frightening.
Well, yeah. And it's good you bring that up, right? Because this is kind of the same thing. If somebody looks and says, okay, these are all the people that the community nominated or voted for or whatever, well, what does that mean? You know what I mean? Especially when some people might be looking at other creators and going like, well, wait, these people got nominated, but there's dudes like JRR2 that he can draw a couple hundred people on a stream. And some of these people are barely getting, you know, they're not even at partner level necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, this dude's over here creating decks that are, you know, keeping people excited about a format and killing it on stream, but like not getting nominated. Right. There's people that were out there trying to support and back Therese Nilsson. And, you know, we talked about all those issues.
Yeah.
But other people putting out all the positive comment, doing charity stuff, donating, whatever, don't get nominated. Right. I think those are kind of the issues you start looking at. Like there, and we've talked about it before, there's people that are just constantly sharing negativity. And there's a good chance that shows like ours may not even get nominated. Even with them having different categories as far as like small, medium, and large content creators in each subject. Or at least they did last year. I don't know what they're going to do this year. I haven't seen the ballot yet. But yeah, not to fish, but if y'all want to nominate somebody, I know two dudes who have a bunch of different projects and a lot of different categories. If y'all would like to just put our names all over everything, I would gladly accept that.
I want the resume point. I'm fishing, and I'm not even not even shy about it.
But yeah, you know, and this kind of comes up too. This is kind of related to this, I guess. So I'll just put this out here. We talked about this a lot on the Patreon episode. But this kind of falls into that category of people wanting others to be humble. And unfortunately, it does come up a lot when speaking about people of color being confident. But in this is the exact type of situation where you can't afford to be humble, right? If you're looking at a group and saying like, this is, and this isn't even just an assumption. This is literally like, hey, here are our winners and nominees from last year. Like you can see how devoid of color the picture was. So at that point, if you're saying, okay, this is what the community nominated, this is what the community voted for, I have to be boisterous. I have to tell people about my projects. I have to bust my butt and tell people about where all my work is and how to interact with it or whatever to get the maximum eyes and ears on my projects so I can be recognized among those same people. Because obviously, if you're just being quiet and humble and, you know, well, you know, I'll wait my turn and pave my way and do this and that and keep my nose to the grindstone and all that, like, it's obviously not happening for a lot of people. And when you talk about people that are putting in work, I mean, especially when people say it in regards to athletes, that's the one that gets me the most. Because these are people that literally, from the time they're 10 years old, put their whole life into focusing on one thing. So what? I don't care if they're humble. They have earned the right to brag about their skills. And maybe even talk a little trash about the people they think they're better than. Because they are.
Every NBA player has, you know, some story about the time Michael Jordan or Larry Bird or somebody talked some trash and made them break out laughing on the court.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know if I ever shared this, but this is one of the best Kobe trash talk stories. Apparently, and this was like in his, when Kobe's in his like 18th season or something, and there's a guy, he's a year or two in, and dude was there just talking some trash to Kobe pregame. And apparently, Kobe, calm as can be, walks up to him and says, "Look, dog, I was doing this since you were in diapers."
Nice.
And the dude just looked and said, "Yes, sir, Mr. Bryant," and went and sat down. But, dude, I mean, he's not wrong, right? Like, dude, at that point, he's in his 18th season. Like, you were literally just coming into the league. He's been doing that as long as you have been alive.
Yeah, which is like, mind-blowing.
At the pro level, not even just how long he's been playing basketball. So it's like, when somebody tells you something like that, that is the most simple trash talk that you can't, you don't even have a rebuttal.
No.
Right? Like, you just go like, "Yeah, you've been doing it this long and you're still a badass. Well, all right then. I'm going to go sit down."
I'm going to get torched for 30 and 20 and just accept it.
But he's like, you know, it's even bringing up Kobe, right? He's a good example, right? Where if somebody like that talks trash or he says, "Yeah, I'm going to push my team. We're going to win a championship. We're going to do it." Even if they don't, like, so what? Right, he has done everything at the highest level possible. He's been an MVP. He's been a Finals MVP. He's won Olympic championships. You know, he's won multiple All-Star Game MVPs. He's been All Defensive, All NBA, whatever. Like, his trophy case probably takes up a whole two walls.
Yeah.
Right. So, at some point, that person doesn't have to be humble. We have to quit being idiots and acknowledge that they're great at what they do. Now, he might be off the court a jerk or whatever. Like, that can still be true. But within his craft, he is great. I mean, there's no way around. Actually, here's a crazy Kobe story that a couple people have corroborated now. But apparently, pregame, he's shooting the ball, doing like, I think it was free throws or something, but just taking simple, like, you know, mid-range shots. And he keeps missing. And this dude, one of the players on the opposing team's watching him, you know, doing his warm-ups or whatever, because Kobe always gets there early. And at some point, Kobe goes and gets the crew that works on, the maintenance crew, and tells them something, and they go over and they measure some things, and they're messing with the basket or whatever. And, you know, then you see Kobe go to shooting after they're all done, and, you know, he's making his shots or whatever. Well, after the game, the player goes up to one of the maintenance guys and says, like, "Hey, I don't want to be too nosy, but what was all that stuff about pregame? Because y'all brought out ladders and everything, you know." And he says, "Well, you know, he had a concern that the basket was probably about somewhere around a half inch short. And they went and measured it. I'll be damned if it wasn't a half inch short."
Wow.
Like, tell me, like, when you talk about somebody being humble, like, a dude that is so good at his craft, he has perfected his shot from different distances on the court to where a half inch difference in the rim changes everything, and he knows it. Like, how insane is that?
It's crazy.
But that's what I'm saying. When people put in that kind of time, they have earned the right to be proud, and they should be. Like, if I could shoot a basketball from 20 feet out and be like, "Nah, man, something's wrong with this rim," and then y'all go look at it, and it is? Like, come on, man.
There'd be no living with you.
Or me. Of course not. Of course not. But even here, you know, I've told people before, like,
sports and esports, the people that, I won't say everybody, but most of the people that get to that level, like, you, there's just, they radiate confidence. Even if they don't necessarily, you know, trash talk, you just, you get that vibe from being around them. That, yeah, like, that they're just leaders of just naturally.
Yeah.
They have an aura, if you want to say it like that.
And that's why I tell people, like, when people ask me, I'm like, yes, I'm going to tell you about my projects. Like, I put in some weeks, seriously, 80 hours or more trying to get all my content out of the door and on time every day. So, yeah, I'm going to be proud of what I'm putting out. Especially, and let's be real, I'm not, y'all know, any of y'all listeners that follow any other content know that there are a lot of content creators out there that are lazy, don't have any real production value. They're not using good lighting or good microphones. They don't even clean up their desks that they're filming from. Like, and if the fact that those people are still getting recognized and people are still watching, hell, some of those people have like 100,000 subscribers. So when I look around and say, like, yeah, I'm over here literally, you know what I did? I shared on Twitter the other day because I have been researching just lighting because I'm trying to make the most out of the lights I have without spending, you know, $300-$400 on like studio lights because that's crazy at my level. And I did it well enough to where people started asking, man, did you get a new camera? You know, like, and to me, I was like, I'm proud as hell. Of course I'm going to tell some people about that. They're like, really? The research and the time I put in put out a good enough product that people thought I got a new camera. Like, yeah, I'm going to tell somebody about it.
You know, we require a little more light than other people require. And I'm quote unquote high yellow, you know, and I was shocked at how many lights they had beaming on me.
Oh, for sure. So it's just one of those things, you know, where I tell people, yes, we need to speak up. We need to brag. We need to talk about stuff because otherwise people aren't paying attention. They're just not. So yeah, when I'm going on literally everybody that had asked me to be on their podcast or their web show or whatever, as long as I had time, I did it. I didn't care if they had 50 viewers or listeners or 50,000 viewers or listeners. Every one of them, just to make sure I could talk about myself. And it sounds crazy, but so far it's working. So
if we don't do it, you know, nobody's going to in a lot of cases.
Now, okay, that aside, let's talk about, so we're not lingering on this too long. Let's talk about just the importance of these awards, right? Because a lot of people are saying like, well, they're meaningless, right? Because they're awards. Award shows as a whole don't mean a lot, especially early on. But let's be real, like those are resume builders.
Yeah.
Like once it becomes big enough that it's a thing that's recognized within that community or that craft or whatever, that job or skill set, it matters. Right? And that's a box you get to check off that you get to tell somebody or when you get to go get more sponsors or affiliates or whatever, right? You have talking points. And now that this thing's in its third year and it's starting to get actual views and awards and people paying attention or whatever, it's like, okay, well, maybe this is becoming something. Now, like all awards, yes, it's going to be a popularity contest to some level. There's going to be some back scratching to some level. Like that's happens with almost every award on the planet. I mean, now let's be real. When Denzel won his award for Training Day, that was not his best movie.
No, not even close.
But we know some other people had some wins, some awards the last couple times he was nominated. So he kind of got the unofficial Lifetime Achievement Award is what that was. But even for him, right, that wasn't his best work that year. But they were kind of like, well, you know, he's been nominated a few times. We need to go ahead and give him this one or whatever. I'm pretty sure that's what went down. And I think that was the year also. Wasn't that the one that like Halle Berry won that year or something? So they were able to say that like both of the major awards went to black actors or something.
I believe so.
So, I mean,
that should take care of us for the next 20 to 30 years. Is how that went.
Yeah. So like even at the level of the Oscars, that stuff can happen, right? So that to me isn't a relevant talking point because that happens with pretty much every award thing. But it's a matter of, does it start to become recognized? And is this something people can brag about, hold on to, talk about? Because if so, then people having their names on these things matter. And honestly, they may matter, may not. It's one of those things where even though the award itself may not have value, somebody looking at you may not necessarily know that. Right? Like if somebody walks in and you go into your dentist or doctor's office or whatever, and they've got 20 awards on the wall, you're kind of like, man, this person might be a badass. But you don't know, like one of those could just be like, okay, he, you know, got an award for being the best presenter at a TED talk or something.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with what he's going to be doing in the room.
But it looks
but like you, exactly. You look at that and go like, oh, well, this might be somebody. It's the same reason you see so many content creators or streamers and stuff try to put up 15 logos of affiliates on their thing to look more legit, even though they're not making any money off of them, right? The idea is people come and go like, oh, well, this person might be somebody because they have all these logos and I know those companies. So, all right, maybe I'll hang out with this person. So it's kind of the same thing. So is there an importance in and of itself? Not necessarily, or at least not yet. But can there be in the future? I think it's possible. And if nothing else, we can still use this as an opportunity to at least get a more diverse group of people and get exposure for a bigger group of people by getting these people nominated and talked about at the very least, even if nothing else comes of it. So if you haven't seen it, go check it out. Do a search. MTG Content Creator Awards. Nominate some of your favorite people of color, women, non-binary folks, trans folks, and just get a bigger, diverse group of people in this selection so people can see them. Okay, so I did touch on it there just briefly, talking about streaming. And there was also another conversation that went around a little bit about streaming numbers on Magic stuff and why the numbers aren't necessarily bigger. And an interesting thing, at least from my perspective, I think it's twofold. I think one is that Magic isn't, and this may be true of several card games, actually, not just Magic, but I think it's not necessarily easy for a stranger to just land on a game of Magic and be able to understand what's happening. Right? Like, if I go watch, say, League of Legends, I can pretty much understand that the goal is to destroy the towers and the base of the other players. Now, the methods and the characters, you know, once you do a deep dive, that's a whole different thing. But just top level, you can kind of watch what's going on, understand the progression of who's winning, who's not. But in Magic, you don't have that clarity, right? Like, or card games sometimes. But the game states can look like a winning position, but you're actually behind. Or vice versa. Or one game state might be advanced position in this game, but if you see somebody with a similar game state in the next game, and then the person loses, you can be like, well, how did that happen? Right? The context isn't there yet if you're not more entrenched and know more of the stuff.
That doesn't even count where there's like some kind of win condition, like, oh, I played this card, I win automatically.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, that stuff can need to be accounted for too. Then you have the other issue of people that are, like, part of what I guess comes with card games is being a creator, right? You get into the art, you get into building different styles of decks, you have your favorite cards. So it also makes sense that there's a lot of Magic streamers. So you're kind of spreading the people out as well. But it's also hard too. I think people are also looking at numbers now and understanding that there's a lot of us that are doing content. Some people just because of the pandemic, right? They're doing it to stay engaged. So they're not going, getting cabin fever. They're doing it so they have a creative outlet. Some of them are doing it as side income, if they've been able to turn it into that. And I think that can't be overlooked, because I'm a big believer that I'm pretty sure by the time we get to summer next year, I would not be surprised if a good third of the content you're seeing now goes away. Partly because some people just get back to doing their normal job, normal life, whatever. No longer working at home, don't have the extra time. Commutes now eat up a couple hours a day or whatever, right? But then also, some people are going to get back to living normal life as well. They're going to be going out to the movies, hanging out at the park, going to barbecues, birthday parties, whatever. That's going to also further people by pushing them away from the time they would have to do content. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see a shift where the people that are in for the long haul see their numbers go up over these next like 6 to 9 months. Now, since you do other video gaming, Brian, like, how do you see the numbers on a lot of other video games versus, you know, Magic or Hearthstone or whatever type streaming?
I mean, I think, like, for let's look at a game like Overwatch, where even if you don't really understand what's necessarily happening, it's exciting visually to watch. Overwatch almost is too, there's too much going on with explosions and people doing backflips and crazy things. But, I mean, it's like, you know, there's never a point where there's not something happening, as opposed to Magic where, as you said, it's sometimes, for example, if you don't play card games, it can be difficult to even tell who's winning or losing in the grand scheme of things. And it's not that card games aren't the most visually exciting. There are no explosions per se. There's no crazy huge, or at least not the same way you would like in a first person shooter where somebody just walks into the building and shoots three people automatically. And of course, yeah, you visually understand exactly what happened. Most card games just are not like that.
Now, I haven't seen, like, obviously every game has its like big streamers, right? Even Magic has like croquis that draw like 2,000 people on just a random Tuesday night stream or something. And I do see that in other games. But when people are comparing these numbers, I also see a lot of these like really popular games, you know, like Hades, Dead by Daylight, you know, whatever, that still have people streaming to like 20 people. And there's a lot of that. So I'm not sure Magic is that far behind a lot of the other games. And now, am I just seeing the wrong people, or is that roughly true?
Things like, you know, obviously like time of day matters. Is there some kind of event going on? And that's true for Magic too. Obviously, if you have like a Zendikar championship, we'll probably in some cases do a better number than just random weekend. The biggest person on, let's say, League of Legends probably could be streaming to easily 9 or 10,000 people.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, part of the thing I've always told people too is like Magic kind of has an invisible ceiling on streaming as well, because part of enjoying Magic is deck building, hanging out with your friends. You know, you're not necessarily locked into streaming or into the computer to do your Magic related stuff. Whereas if you play, like you're saying, you know, Overwatch or League of Legends or whatever, you're always on the computer.
Yeah.
Like your life is built out with like my entertainment time is based around my monitor. And that's not necessarily the same case for Magic. Because like even though I stream Magic and whatever, I do still spend time like sorting cards, buying collections, building decks, whatever, that isn't spending time on the computer. So that pulls away from it too. But it's all very interesting. You know, I think it's a lot deeper than the average person wants to make out in a lot of the discussions that I've seen. Everybody kind of would say, oh, well, it's just this or oh, it's just that. Like, not really. I think it's probably like 20 different factors that are really contributing to it. But, you know, one of the things too, and I just remember this because you mentioned, you know, a bunch of people watching one streamer. I believe it's Valorant has a big championship coming up. And they chose Ninja and was it FaZe maybe? That they have picked two streamers to be the exclusive two. And maybe it's not FaZe, but I know there's a second streamer. I know one for sure was Ninja that they chose. But those are the two that are going to be allowed to do a stream of the event other than their own on Twitch. That's it. Now, I'm sure they worked with Twitch to, like, block the thing from being restreamed or whatever.
I was going to say, you have to.
Yeah, but and that upset some people in those communities.
Yeah, I mean, that's a large part of your, you know, your income and your audience.
Well, and, you know, the same thing, people got upset with Magic during one of their last big events because they didn't let the individual players stream the events on their channels. And fans were mad, like, I want to watch it from this person's perspective, or I want to watch this person play, you know. And I think this kind of contributes, right? When people say, well, you want that, but then you also want to complain about the main Wizards channel only getting, like, 10,000 viewers. It's like, well, yeah, but the other thing you asked for was to let their viewers be on a bunch of different channels. So unless you go look at the total number of people watching Magic at any given point, you're not going to really know how many people were streaming or watching that particular event. Now, Wizards knows and Twitter knows, or Twitch knows or whatever, obviously. But we're not going to know. You can't have your cake and eat it too, right? You got to get one or the other, really. But yeah, do you want to contribute something else there?
I was just saying right now I'm looking at Magic has 7,500 viewers right now. That's total. And League of Legends, Tyler's got almost 30,000.
I could totally see that. And again, I think that's more about culture more than anything else. That everything about the games is based around the machines. And the companies also market it using each of these people to go watch their streams. Like, we're going to do special drops during their streams. You know, we're going to do giveaways or announcements during these times. But right, you basically train your community to spend more time on their computers looking at these streamers. And it has a big payoff benefit, right? Because I think the thing people forget sometimes is you're not just competing with other games in your category. You're competing with other entertainment.
Yep.
So Wizards actually, in a way, gets to consume a lot of our entertainment hours because they get us both playing Arena and then they get our physical paper interactions. So when you're only in one of those mediums, in this case, you know, you're talking about like Overwatch or whatever, it's only online. So those companies do everything they can to get you to go to the one spot or two spots to watch their stuff. And it makes sense. Now, do they think that like Magic streaming's failing or whatever? It's like, no, absolutely not. I see streamers that are still growing. Like we said earlier, JRR2, I've seen him with a couple hundred people. Hell, the other day, I got on and did a stream for Fan Friday where I just take deck lists from the fans to do a thing on Friday on my YouTube channel. And I clocked over 100 people on a stream I thought was basically going to just be like a boring throwaway stream for a lot of people. So I think it has more to do with your content and presentation in a lot of ways more than anything else. When you look around and you see, because, man, okay, that's a different rant. I could just go too far. I'm just like, man, you know, too many people are just, you're doing the bare minimum. Let's just be real about it. A lot of people creating content are doing the bare minimum. Talking about the popular things, using the generic popular setups, filming your stuff the same way everybody else does. Like, you're only going to get so big. You know, we talked about this, I don't know, like 30 episodes ago, where if you're just doing what everybody else is doing, what's the reason for somebody to come see you out of somebody else? So it's very easy for people to look and say, well, there must not be any people watching Magic streaming. It's like, no, that's not true at all. Like, I can get on now and probably start out with 20 to 30 people in the first 15 minutes. But that's because I've also built that up. It doesn't just come overnight. Ugh, man. Well, we've managed to drag this episode out already anyway.
Well, we can talk. Everybody knows this.
Okay, so there's two other quick things I do want to touch on before we wrap this up. I'm going to hop over and look at the Discord real quick because I want to... By the way, if you want to become members of our Patreon, go to patreon.com/colorofmagic and you can join our Discord where people talk about different topics, ideas, send stuff our way, all types of different things. But one of the things somebody pointed out was that, and I wish I remember who it was. I'm trying to find out. Oh, it was Lawson, actually. That CBS put out a thing this past week that they're basically committing to going forward, any of their non-scripted shows will have a minimum of 50% BIPOC representation. And additionally, that they're going to give at least a quarter of their annual budget for unscripted show development to creators or shows that have co-creators that also are of that same category. And they're starting that in 2021. So good on them. You know, making sure there's representation, giving people a chance, getting people out there. It's cool seeing that stuff. You know, we talked about before where Hollywood is kind of dedicated to making sure more of the crews are more diverse and everything else. So this is kind of like the next step in that, it seems like. It's pretty neat.
Let's hope so.
Hope so. Hope it stays that way. Now, one of the things, and this doesn't have to be a long segment here for the dinner table, but I kind of wanted to ask you, Brian, with the news of the vaccines coming. Well, actually, first, let me say, if you didn't see the recent press conference from Dr. Fauci, man, that dude had a little pep in his step. You know, and I don't know, maybe it's a combination of like some good news coming around the corner, being able to go after another doctor and both of y'all getting to just talk facts to the public, knowing that you're not going to have to argue this with anybody. Like, you could just tell, like, he, like, this was the first time he's looked like he was energized at a press conference. And I was like, man, that's got to be so different for him, just knowing, like, you no longer have to deal with somebody, like, looking at you and asking you, like, well, what if we just put disinfectant in? Well, have we tried sunlight? Because, you know, UV does a thing. You know, like, come on, man.
You could just see Dr. Birx's soul leave her body during the press conference.
Oh, I know. It's sad. Oh, side note, even though we're at the end of the episode, man, there's some stuff we found out earlier today that made the news about the current administration that's, infinitely worse. We'll have to talk about that. Maybe we'll cover it next week. But anyway, back to vaccines. Okay, so the news we have now is there are, I believe now, 3 vaccines that have come out that are all at 93% plus. I believe the Moderna vaccine was at 94 or at 95%, and the Pfizer vaccine was at 94.5. And those are amazing efficacy rates. Those are amazing. Like, when you, I believe he was putting it in perspective of other stuff we have for, like, measles and mumps and things like that, and some of those are like upper 80s. And to me, this is just a good example of, like, when you literally get the whole world sharing information and sharing research, and everybody's putting their money in. Like, this is what could happen if we wanted that utopian Star Trek world, right? Like, a thing happened, and, you know, 8 to 9 months later, we had a thing to deal with this pandemic, you know, on a global scale.
I could replicate me a PlayStation 5.
Maybe. But the reason I bring this up is to say we are getting to the point. I saw a couple people I know that are in the medical fields saying they are already working on a rollout of the vaccines for medical personnel. They're already making, like, their priority list and stuff. So it's very possible here before the end of the month, the first COVID vaccines are going to roll out to medical personnel, high risk job type things, you know, just to make sure that the people that are are fighting it every day the most and helping us get through it get taken care of first, which I totally agree with. But sometime around late January-ish, I think is what they're aiming for, into mid-February, they will start rolling the vaccines out to other communities. They're trying to send money out to all the states and the cities and make sure everybody's equipped and ready to go and has the people. And my understanding from what I've read is these will be 2 vaccinations for the full dosage or whatever. You can't do it all at once for some reason, so they have to be like 30 days apart. But let's assume everything goes according to plan. There'll probably be hiccups. Let's give it an extra month. So let's say everybody gets their double dose by April. What does that do for you as far as changing your outlook on gaming or events or whatever going into next year?
I mean, I want to see how many people are actually going to take the vaccine. That's what's, and I see that, you know, all of our ex-presidents are gonna go on TV and take it to show that, show that it's safe. So hopefully that'll, you know, get people going. But I really want to, especially up in Texas, I want to see how many people are actually partaking of the vaccine and what that does to the numbers.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat as you. I mean, obviously, I'm going to sign up. I'm going to take it. First reasonable opportunity. You know, I don't think I'm going to rush and be like the first ones, because there's other people who probably need it more than I do. But, you know, if it gets to where, like, my local Kaiser clinic or whatever is just like, yeah, you can come in and get a thing. It's fine. We have plenty. Cool. I'll go in and get my vaccine. But when do I want to start going and hanging out, go to big events, that sort of thing? It's probably still going to take a little while. I think I'm with you, right? I have to see some numbers of, like, has at least, I don't know, at least 50% of the populace taken the vaccine. That would be like the minimum for me within my area. You know, I'd like that to be closer to like 60, 65% maybe. Mostly because I also understand, like, there's going to be some people, regardless of what the vaccine's for, just not going to take it. So I know those people are always out there. But yeah, I think, I don't know. Like, I'm not, you know, I talked about this a little bit on the professor's channel, you know, when we were asking the same questions at one point. And I think it's still going to be a little while before I'm totally comfortable going to another big event. You know, not that I'm going to tell other people not to go. And it's possible that at the right event with the right conditions, I could be into it, you know, but I don't know. I think it's going to take a little while. The good news, though, I did see some conventions at least starting to advertise their stuff for late next year. You know, I saw some stuff for like summer and fall next year. So people at least have, I don't know, some positivity right now about it. And that's better than where we were. So I'll take that for what we can get right now. But yeah, I think that's going to do it, Brian. We are over the hour mark. So yeah. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media?
Right. I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Our family channel on YouTube is Alan's Ever After.
And as always, y'all can find me at Power Dragon, PowerDragn, on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, all over the place. Come by, say hi, come watch my stuff, and let's get to know each other. And as always, whenever you are listening, wherever you are listening from, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And at least for another few months, please wear your mask, wash your hands, stay safe, stay away from other humans right now, and help us get through this whole thing so we can get back to gaming and gathering.
If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us on our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate, under patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at colorofmtg. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.